All right. Now, what we have here is we have the question and answers, if you would. You got a box right here, and then we're going to end it up.
Okay.
Unless someone wants to raise their hand. Does anybody have a question right now?
Is there a roving microphone somewhere? Or
can you just talk loud?
Here we go.
All the big books are coming out. Oh, my God. They're going to start asking big book questions. You just want to raise a hand, and Hallie will give you the...
It doesn't have to be a question. It can be sharing. It could be anything you like.
Give me the basket.
Sure.
No questions? That's sweet. When will we be back? That is the question.
We were hoping for extravagant praise.
Well, Pally's going to have to answer on that one. I think you're changing your whole meeting system here, aren't you?
What we'll do now is sit together on the committee and discuss the future of this convention. We'll have a new convention. If it'll be here in this building, we don't know, but there will be another convention. And if it will be Doug and Chris, I don't know, but... they will be just as good as Doug and Chris. If that's possible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's possible. There's a question in
some,
the back.
Some tall okay, boots to fill.
There's a question in the back, Doug.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Anas. I'm an alcoholic.
How are you?
I was just wondering... how much time do you spend on sponsees that already done the steps 1 through 9 and are doing 10, 11, and 12 per week? Because you said you had 50 sponsees and you only want them to call you when they're actually done some of the program. So how much time do you spend with them? When do you talk to them? Stuff like that.
Well, first of all, I see three stages in... working with others, with another individual. The first stage is I'm their sponsor. I get them through the steps. Second stage is just because you've gone through the steps doesn't mean that you're going to have a lot of real answers for every single situation sober. So there's a mentoring period. And that's like just giving them decent sober advice, you know, how to handle, how to go to traffic court, you know, the things that we all need. And the third part is a peer relationship. That means that we're both looking eye to eye. We're both on the, you know, trudging the happy road to destiny together. And neither one of us have any hold over the other. I'm not in charge of them anymore. They can call me their sponsor and I can call them my sponsee. But basically they're going about their business helping other people. And whenever I'll see them at meetings or we're friends, we'll go running together or whatever. But as far as an interaction, like as a drama coach or a counselor, that usually is over fairly quickly. And then we're on the team that's out there trying to help other alcoholics. So I can sponsor 50 people and not get one phone call in a week. And it wouldn't be unusual. This is the way I do it. You know, I want to prepare you to be of help to other people when the preparation is over. You know, sometimes I'm really good friends with people. Sometimes, you know, the people I work with are kind of horses' asses. And, you know, and we don't spend much time together. But, you know, for the most part, we'll see each other at meetings or activities or whatever.
I'm considered the mechanic of the United States in a way where people will say, they may go up to Pally and say, will you sponsor me? Most of them will say, well, only if you go to Doug's house on Saturday and you go through the steps, then I will sponsor you. So I'm the mechanic that will show the people the mechanics on how to get to the spiritual awakening, which relieves these guys from doing it. I'll just burn and turn them out and then give them back so that they could have a sponsor, or as I like to call them, a sharing partner, to bounce life ideas off their heads. But I don't do the life idea thing. I'm the mechanic. I show you how the big book was written, the history of it, how it works, how to do your daily inventory. I get you through the fourth step. And then I pass you back on. So I'm more the mechanic guy. So I've done, I think I brought 80 to 100 people through the steps in 5 hours in one day in New Jersey. And so people asked me to come and do that, and I bring a lot of people through the steps. Thousands, actually. It's absolutely great. I'm not very patient. If someone starts whining, I even hang up faster than him, so it doesn't work very well for me.
You know, I love the A&A groups in New Jersey.
Oh, man,
because
tough.
If, you know, every once in a while somebody will wander in and raise their hand and say, oh, you know, I had a really bad day today. All of a sudden,
pens. Yeah, they start throwing pens.
A pen flies over at them and somebody hands them a piece of paper and says, okay, inventory.
They give them an inventory
they're
list.
Like,
they
what?
Say, do this inventory.
What?
And then, when they're done with inventory, two big guys will come and they'll lift you up and they'll go make amends.
You will make amends later tonight. Here's a phone. Call them up right now.
Hard.
What? You know,
they're dragging out.
They rarely come and share problems again.
No more sharing. It says, "What do you say to your prospect on the first visit to sell them the idea of Alcoholics Anonymous?" I say this: if you're in Alcoholics Anonymous right now, you're not on a winning streak. You want to come over to my house at 10 a.m. and that's it. If they come over to my house at 10 a.m., the second thing I do is I don't get their telephone number. I mean, I don't take their... A lot of people in the United States, here, take my telephone number. And they're thinking in the back of their head, please don't call me. Here, take my telephone.
You give the wrong number.
I say, come here, give me your telephone number.
Give your sponsor
number. I take the way they used to do it back in the olden days, the 1930s, when AA first started, they used to take... Well, I don't even know if it was telephone, but... I take the telephone number and I call them. Hey, remember me? This is Doug from the Wednesday night men's group in Fernandina Beach. Do you want to still take me up on my offer? I still have some space available in my house. I'd like to see you from 10. 9 times out of 10 breaks my heart. Well, you know, I checked with my before they even say I checked with my. I say, hey man, if you want me, I got your number. I'll call you back and I hang up. That's it. So that means they're definitely not serious. So that's how I do it. How do you do it, Chris?
Here's one that's kind of related. It's a question. How do you hold sponsees accountable? I make them wear an ankle bracelet that gives a 700-volt shock. You know who you need to be accountable to really is to God. If I'm taking somebody through the steps and they're balking or whatever, you know, I'm not a dictator type of sponsor. I don't beat you up. I don't shame you. I don't demean you. I just don't work with you. It basically says in this book, if the prospect will not work with you, you may have to drop him for a while. He may become willing after he drinks a bunch more times or whatever. And that's kind of what it says in here. So I kind of follow that. You know, there are two things that I get involved with directly if my guys are doing. One of them is if they're 13th step predatorial. In other words, I've had some guys that, you know, they may have 3 or 4 years, a good-looking new woman comes in, and zoom, they're right there. I've got an issue with that, okay? I got an issue with that. It may say in this book that God is the arbiter of our sex conduct, but I take issue with somebody trying to divert the attention of a woman away from the recovery process and get her involved in a sexual relationship before she's had time to get her feet on the ground with a program of recovery. I take exception to that, and I will have words with my sponsees. Now, they may tell me to go pound, but I will have words with my sponsees. The other thing is if they try to evangelize in AA, if they try to tell you what Jesus to believe in, I've got an issue with that too. Because anybody in here ever watched Star Trek? The show. Remember the prime directive? You know what the prime directive was? Don't interfere with anybody's spiritual growth. And I believe that you can interfere with somebody if you've got, let's say you're a such and such a tologist or something, and you've got this book and it's the way, and you grab a newcomer and you start saying, hey, don't worry about the big book, here, you know, you're gonna be saved. I've got an issue with that. I don't want anybody taking anybody's attention away from the recovery process. Because we're not here, we're really not here to save your soul. We're here to save your ass in the first couple of months in AA. Then you can go about the business of saving your soul. But if any of my sponsees are doing any of those two things, I get directly involved. Those are really the only things I hold them accountable for. Alcohol holds them accountable for everything else.
I don't discriminate either. I do the same thing with women, 13-step and men. So I don't discriminate whether it's men or women. Yes, ma'am. They want to get you on tape in front of 1,000 people.
Sarah, alcoholic.
Hi.
What do you say to people who doesn't believe in God or a Buddha or anything? Atheists?
Yeah.
You take that.
Yeah, I gotta
that
take,
was your experience.
I got to take this. This is my experience. I was good at this. When I first came into AA and I heard about this God, I would get up and do this. I'd make sure everybody knew that I was leaving the room because you were talking about God. And I hated it. I just really disliked it. So I didn't make it to a lot of meetings in the first 90 days. Although I was in Happy Hills for 72 of those 90 in a padded room for 28 of those days. But, what I would say to them is, I've run into two atheists since I've been through the work, true atheists like me. And what I say to them is that, do you believe that I have an unbelievable life? And they all look at me and they say, absolutely, I have that belief. Do you believe that I believe with all my heart that there was some type of higher power that I am able to tap into that brought me to here? And they always make sure they say this. I believe that you believe that. I said, well, that's good enough. This is what we're going to do. We're going to go through the work. And at step 12, if you don't get it, and then I pause. And they say, and get what? Well, what happens? Then you die. Just like my sponsor said to me, then you die. But having said that, I say to him, I have never, ever seen that happen. Ever. Not to this day. Not seen somebody get a spiritual awakening who has thoroughly followed the path of the big book and the 12 steps. That's how I do it. Make sense?
Henrik, I'm an alcoholic. I'd like to ask about what you said about having account management on your coins in the group. You pass so many coins out and you get something in return. Uh-huh. And it's a technical question. How do you manage that?
Yeah, what Chris is talking about, they did that accounting of the chips in Houston, I think, once,
yeah,
didn't they? And they found out that, like, nobody was staying sober.
There was a group, a very big group. It's easier to do with the very big groups in Texas. They kept track of chip sales. Now down there, they'll buy different coins of different for different years sobriety. And they found that they were doing about 30,000 desire chips, which is a 24-hour chip.
The white chip.
And then they were doing for 30-year chips, they did 6 or something. So it went from 30,000 people that were joining in 1 month to 6 people that had stayed there for 30 years. And then there was like 8 20 years. And then there was like, I think there was 1,110 years. And you know, do that with your group just to see what's going on. Have the secretary keep track of how many chips and how many years value are being given out, and that's kind of as a report card to how you're hanging on to people. And I will tell you this: if the people are going through the steps, they are going to be staying around a lot longer.
What we did the first time I started one of Chris's groups, I had people sign in, and for I kept count of it for a year, and 75% stayed sober for the first year, and it says in the book 70%. So it's a true statement. It really does work.
None of these statistics are absolutely accurate. Scientifically, they're not accurate, but they give you a general description of what's going on. And I will tell you that they're important statistics, though, to pay attention to, because if there are people that aren't being helped that we can help by just doing our job a little bit better in Alcoholics Anonymous, we should do our job a little bit better in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know the pain and the suffering that alcoholism can cause. Nobody knows it better than you. Nobody knows what that terror and that loneliness feels like. Except for you. If we can help people from suffering from that, That's a very important thing to be involved in.
Hello, Carsten, alcoholic. I want to ask you, I've been going to meetings for almost 5 years now, and I've been working the steps a few years ago, and it was a long process, and I thought it very, very beneficial. I liked it very much. But now, you know, I haven't been working continuously with the 10th, 11th, and 12th step. I want to do that now. Will you recommend me to go back and take the steps once more, or to continue where, let's say, from step 10 on a daily basis?
That's a great question. So the question was, should this gentleman go back through the whole steps again? And this is what I would recommend. He's been with Alcoholics Anonymous for four years. He's went through the steps. If you look at the list that I made up here, if you have done a great inventory on yourself, what's going to happen is as you start doing steps 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis, and you start filling out that inventory list that I give you, it's going to automatically, if you have problems, drive you right to the fourth step. If not, then you don't have a problem. So you will find out as soon as you start writing, and it's amazing how we could say, well, you know, God, I've been here for 4 years and this stuff doesn't come up. When you put pen to paper, I don't know what the spiritual axiom is, but it just opens up floodgates. It opens up floodgates. So I would advise you to go home tonight because I know Pally has been sending out the inventory list. Print out 7 days, write the date for 7 days, and start writing. And if you see that things are popping up, you may then want to go back through the steps. But go through this first, 10, 11, and 12, and then see where it takes you.
You know, there's also some advice. The word continue is important. And we can continue certainly with the disciplines of 10 and 11. There's no doubt about that. But in the step book, there's a sentence that says, many of us go in for annual or semi-annual house cleanings. What I take that to be is many of us go in for annual or biannual steps 1 through 11. I've got experience doing it both ways. I've got experience where every single year I went through the steps for a number of times, all the way through. And then I've got some years where I just continue to maintain through the disciplines of 10 and 11. I find both of those are good ways to do it. But if you've been away from the steps for a while, it might benefit you to go through in a thorough manner from the beginning.
You know, we were asking when we're going to come back. We also have a couple wonderful things here that say, I love you guys. I think it was one of the blondes on a bike, especially Doug up there. Yeah, especially Doug, sorry. But anyway, we got some wonderful thank you cards up here. It was wonderful. And if you want to have this again, whether it's us or with somebody else, which would probably be less than us. But anyway, if you want to have some other great speakers from anywhere around the world, the seventh tradition is absolutely very, very important, especially in the United States. And I think that's why the United States AA is very big and very strong, and we're allowed to have all these conferences. And
we're also big mouths.
Yeah, we're
so
also
that helps.
Big mouths. Yeah. Right. So I got some Monopoly money here. I don't know what this color is. I think it's worth 20 cents, but I'm going to donate this. And I would ask you all, this is going to be the last time, so reach deep in your heart to really help Alcoholics Anonymous Flores here in Denmark and give big. We are all out of time, and I just want to tell you, I love you all. This is a beautiful country, beautiful people. I feel like the redheaded stepchild, the beauty and the beast up here. All you guys are so good looking. And it was a pleasure coming out here. Please email me, say hello, be my international friends, and I want to thank you.
I want to thank everybody that was a part of this process, everybody that was of service, the tapers, the people that were driving us around, the people who were interneting and sending us the money for the tickets. Thank you all, and thank you all for an absolute wonderful weekend.